everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 194. This is the 194th edition here at the Caffeination, only six away from the big 200th show, but this is the last episode that you're going to hear recorded in 2007, last planned episode, that is. Don't know if we're going to have anything on New Year's Eve or anything like that, you know, I briefly toyed with the idea of trying to do a recording over New Year's Eve, but I kind of want to be out and about. You got to untether every once in a while. So this is the looking forward edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're looking at the best of the years to come. We're gonna be checking out some news as per usual. A little bit of coffee information. We're answering some of the listener questions in that regard. But we're also at the same point in time going to be listening back. We're not going to give you the same standard rundown of all the best tech news in 2007. You're going to make that determination on your own. What we're going to do right here is we're going to play you the three favorite songs that I've either gotten the most comments about, I've either enjoyed the most, or just generally I think the three best songs to grace the airwaves for the Caffeination Podcast in the year of 2007. We have Paul and Storm, the opening band. We have Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band with Banjo Boy. And then we have the Dust Rhinos with the Jedi Drinking Test. All right, if my voice sounds a little bit weird, like there's an extra little lisp every once in a while or something, it's because I had the last little section of my dental work done recently, and taking a little bit of time getting used to the whole new tooth. I didn't speak about it a lot last time, but it felt like I had a Lego jammed in my mouth, and after about a week and a half, it went away. But the new tooth's a little bit bigger than the original model, so we're trying to get used to that, But we would just like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners. If this is the first time you're listening to us, please feel free to welcome yourself back, or consider yourself rather welcomed to the rest of this episode, to all of the episodes going forward, and we're glad to have you with us as we start 2008 off. If you are a returning listener or repeat offender, hi and welcome. Thank you very much for your continued ear time, your continued patronage of this, the Caffeination Podcast, which, in case you're listening to this over the stream of the Tech Podcast Network or anything else like that, you can find it at www.caffeination.com. All right, a little bit of a rundown. We are recording this on the 30th of December, 2007. On this episode, you're going to hear about any and all of the following. The Fish, the Wii, Algae, iPod Mistakes, Ghost, Photoshop, French Press, and as always, just a little bit about coffee, caffeine, or whatever, wherever the winds may take us towards the end of the show. We do have a fantastic contest coming up. We're calling it the Episode 200 Giveaway. Basically, what I want you to do here is just send me an email to caffeination@gmail.com if you'd like to be involved in this. And all you have to do is in the subject of the email, put Episode 200 Contest. Those three words, that's it. That'll get through all the spam filters, that'll get through all everything else, and you'll be entered in. We already have a couple entries trickling in from the last show. Now, what would you win, might you ask? Well, I was recently gifted a Apple Training Thermos, and it's not something that shows you how to use a thermos or anything like that. No, this is actually a nice stainless steel, really nice thermos and travel mug that are branded on the front with the Apple logo, and it says training next to it. Gifted from somebody I work with, and we all went to Apple Training. I actually have a set that I use on my own, and they're fantastic. Also, with that comes a pound of coffee, or should you choose something else, but that's pretty good. I'm not going to say a pound of anything else because, then somebody's going to ask for a pound of 20s and then I'm going to be out a mortgage payment or four, and then, it's just going to get messy. But, a pound of coffee fresh roasted from a fine provider at the Coffee Scoop. They're really good. It's the I have to look up their address, but it's fantastic stuff coming out of there. Let's see what else. You're also going to get the apple cider that seems to come with all Apple giveaway items that are drinkable. So apple cider comes with the Apple coffee thermos and everything else like that. So you're going to get all that little bundled up into a package and sent off as a way to start off the new year correctly. We're going to be doing the drawing on episode 200, as the name suggests. So please just send your emails, comments, suggestion, feedback, hate mail, but just name it all episode 200 contest to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, wanted to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to step a foot outside your office. You'll not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, all right, that's a fun little word from our sponsor. We are also, by the way, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of, we're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Podcast Network. So if you want to find that stuff, that's over at BLUBRRY. Up first from the PodSafe Music Network, one of the best songs that I have ever heard from the PodSafe Music Network. I mean, bar none. There's a couple artists that I put up there. Jonathan Colton, the immortal Jonathan Colton. I love Little Thom that's up there, but I haven't really played any other new music this year on the show. That was mostly last year. So Code Monkey, Little Joke, all that stuff like that. That I all played in 2006, in the first year, the premier year of the Caffeination Podcast. So here we have a fantastic song that I kind of found a little bit late in the year. Actually, most of these are a little bit late in the year. But here we have from Paul and Storm. If you'd like to head on over to their site, you can go to paulandstorm.com. Their very aptly titled song, Opening Band. So, where else could you put a song titled Opening Band but at the beginning of the podcast? All right, so again here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have The Opening Band by Paul and Storm. I forgot there's a little delay in starting this one, so I probably want to keep it up just talking for a couple of seconds. I forgot there was a little bit here. So again, here we go.
We are the opening band. We are here to do 5 or 6 or 7 songs. Don't go too long and get the hell off the stage. We are the opening band. We're probably not the band you came to see tonight, but it's alright, cause soon we'll go away. And we're wondering just where the hell's the sound guy. He disappeared just after we got up here. He's probably behind the building a fatty, and he'll be gone until our last song. We got a VW van. I had to sell every Star Wars figure that I had and ask my dad to co-sign for the loan. We don't got a whole lot of fans. Nobody asked for our autograph, and sad to say, as of today, no panties have been thrown. And we're wondering if this was worth the drive here. We spent 6 hours in traffic on the highway for $50 and half price on the cheese fries and free Miller Lite on tap. Who can drink that crap?
My cousin lives in town and we'll be crashing at his place unless his girlfriend's home from college and she's staying for the weekend. And if she is, then we will have to go and park the van behind the IHOP by the turnpike, and we'll sleep in the back seat. And we're wondering just where the headline act is. They're probably getting wasted in the green room, and they don't give a rat's ass who we are. So when they start to play up here, we're gonna drink all their beer. We are the opening band. We hope that all of you sign up on our mailing list and buy our disc and t-shirts in black and gray. We are the opening band, and we only got about 25 more minutes left. That's all we get to blow your ass away. We are the opening band. We are the opening band. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Storm with the opening band from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Yep, it's still going. Those are some pretty impressive pipes, if you ask me. But I just love the entire concept behind it. I love the musicality of it. It was a very, very good song when I first heard it, and I'm glad to play it here in the retrospective edition of the Caffeination Podcast. Like I said, we're looking forward. We're listening back. So we do have one little fun new thing to enter into 2008. Despite all my problems with some of the fish that we had recently here in the headquarters, we managed to go out and find some lovely goldfish. They're actually called comet goldfish. They're red and white, and they're currently inhabiting the fish tank that's in the basement of the Caffeination. So I like them compared to some of the other fancy goldfish that you can get, because they're a lot more active. You know, they're long, they're sleek, they're like the streamlined model of goldfish. So they're pretty cool. So you might end up seeing them as album art on an upcoming show, but it just adds a little bit of a life to the room, life that can't actually interrupt the show like sometimes my cats do when they land on the keyboard or something like that. So, all right, but that's not what I came here to talk about today. No, I came to talk to you about Tech Cruft. Yep, that's it. We're going to start right on into here. Tech Cruft, a little bit of information. It's just stuff I like to throw out there. You might not have heard this from some of the mainstream media stuff. You might have. So we have two stories leading off about iPod gifts that went horribly wrong. Well, the first one actually has a huge problem associated with it, but it, as long as you're not directly involved in the problem, these are the kind of things you can chuckle to yourself off to the side. All right, apparently somebody returned a iPod after they had loaded it with a ton of porn to Walmart, and then Walmart immediately repackaged the product and sold it to somebody else. Unfortunately, that person didn't like porn. Unfortunately, that person gave it as a Christmas present to their 10-year-old daughter. And the sad thing is, like, it's ridiculous, because it was sold as a new piece of equipment. You know, I guess they got their 15% restocking fee, and then the person got a little bit more than they bargained for. Here's the kicker that I actually saw in the local news that's not actually mentioned in the story that we found and linked over at Engadget. Now, this one, that there's two things. First of all, he said after about 10 minutes of listening to the iPod, he looked around and his daughter was crying. So apparently his daughter didn't come to him and say, "Hey, Daddy, what's this? This is really nasty." She just started crying. So I really feel bad for her, because obviously, you know, it's completely unexpected. But then the guy says, and you know, we didn't return the iPod. We didn't want to get a new one. So he went out and bought a new one from somewhere else. He says, because we're considering legal action. You know, I'm a little bit, more than a little bit tired of the rampant suing that's going on. I mean, just people are way too lawsuit happy. I mean, I guess it happens when you have companies out there, like we're going to be talking a little bit about the RIAA, when you have companies out there that are making livings off, you know, the fact that all they're doing is defending an outdated business model with lawsuits, then everybody else is going to follow suit, literally, and you know, that's the first thing that somebody thinks about. Not like, oh my god, I hope my daughter's okay after watching that at such a young age, but no, I just want to make sure that I have the iPod still so I can sue somebody when it comes out wrong. All right, now the next one we have up here isn't actually a bad one. It's more than a little bit disturbing, and then kind of weird at the same point in time. Again, somebody, another little girl unwraps an iPod. Instead, she finds social commentary put inside her iPod case. This one was also from Walmart. This one in Washington, D.C. Didn't look to see where the other one was from. But there's a little note in there. It says, "Reclaim your mind from the media shackles. Read a book or resurrect yourself. To claim your capitalistic garbage, go to your nearest Apple store." Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting. I mean, it had the whole, just so nobody could use handwriting, analyzation or something like that, it's the entire, the strange kidnapping kind of script, where it's like all the different strange looking letters, mimeograph and fact, so it looks unreadable, was all folded up. I wonder how heavy this thing was, because iPods are light, but they're not piece of paper light, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was ridiculous, and apparently she already got another iPod or something like that, but it's like, who thinks to do this? I mean, personally, I don't wake up in the morning, you know what? I have a message I'd like to get it out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy an iPod, and then I'm going to return it after I've taken the iPod out and put my own little social commentary in there. Because already the person who bought the iPod had, they got the iPod, they got the money back for returning the iPod, so that's fantastic. And then they were telling somebody else to reclaim their mind. It's like, okay, yeah, I'd like to reclaim my mind and all, but wouldn't it be better just to put a little bit of propaganda on the iPod instead? Have a little anarchist, round table, fill up the entire thing. I mean, that'd be cool. That'd be interesting. I'd be all like, okay, fine, I can respect that you did that, but you kept the iPod. I mean, it doesn't really ring true with your whole materialism is bad thing if you're the one who kept the iPod and got the money back. Because, so, all right. Moving right along, we have a fun little thing. I'm not even going to give anybody the dignity of linking this story. There's two things that recently came out. First of all, RIAA was suing some poor guy, basically, and a couple news media organizations both... both old media and new media kind of took it and ran after they read the initial blurb on the lawsuit and said that he was being sued for ripping music from his CDs. Now, if you go over to Slashdot and check out the article, they actually have a couple different things listed. The one, of course, being that all they did was mention that it was illegal, unregistered, or ill-advised copies. And then the second thing was that it's never been ruled on whether or not ripping music from your CDs, for personal home use is illegal. So they're kind of, they really missed a shot here. So if the RIAA wanted to actually try and, get a ruling on this, they could have just sued him for doing that. But no, these are, standard old file sharing lawsuit, and everybody kind of jumped the gun on that one, just because they started to realize that the RIAA was mentioning that this was illegal. I guess they're trying to set a precedent by just referring to it as such beforehand. If you repeat something over and over and over again, it's bound to be true, right? All right, so putting that off to the side. Moving right along, Adobe Sneaky Sneaky. So anybody out there who has the CS3 edition of Adobe, the Creative Suite 2, then you might have noticed every once in a while, if you have a firewall running, that it's trying to connect to a strange private IP address. Apparently, all Adobe products are now... Not all Adobe products, but all Adobe products of the new generation, all the CS3 Creative Suite 3 editions, are now phoning home, so to speak, which means that they're all checking in, saying, hey, this is my license number, this is my rifle, this is my gun, this is Rickel. Yeah. So they're all checking in and saying, okay, this is where, we are right now, which a lot of people are kind of irritated about. I mean, I noticed... on one of my machines in work that, Adobe was trying to connect. I'm like, well, you don't need updates. I already checked for updates. You're fine. Go away. And I have it blocked by the firewall just because I don't like extra network traffic. You never know what's being transmitted. So it just makes that much more sense to, kind of keep an eye on them. Because, I mean, seriously, who's watching the watchers here? All right. Next little thing to be... Oh, yeah. By the way, before we go any further. So anybody out there who's pirating... God forbid, the CS3 version, they know where you are. That's basically what that one comes down to. All right, next little thing we have up here, just a little bit of a fun link. This is from over at device.com. This is the 8 technological gadgets you need that if you're going ghost hunting. So I just thought it was kind of fun to do a little rundown. One's a 35mm camera, just basically because it's a lot harder to fake a negative than it is to fake a digital still, and they're a lot less sensitive to light. Number 2 is a digital audio recorder. Number 3 is an infrared camera, digital. Number 4 is a digital video camera. Number 5 is a digital thermometer. Number 6 is an electromagnetic field recorder, EMF recorder. Number 7 is a night vision goggles. And number 8 is a thermal imaging digital camera. You can head on over to device.com on the link at the Caffeination Podcast and check them all out. I just wanted to kind of throw it out there because one of my absolute favorite shows on right now is actually Ghost Hunters. So this hit near and dear to my heart. I have a couple of those things, so maybe we might check around the Caffeination HQ HQ, see if we got anybody lurking. Yeah, that'd be kind of funny. Ghost Hunters caffeination style. So, of course, you know, the coffee would make repeat appearances as the night wore on. I've never seen one of them drinking coffee unless it's, like, outside before. So, you know, they're not real caffeinated people. All right, two more little links, then we'll head you on into the next bit of fun musical goodness from last year. They're not numbered. Next one up here is from our friends over at EcoGeek.com. Shell has decided to try and grow algae for oil. Now, I'm not really sure how this works, but they're the first major oil company that's trying to use algae as a adaptation for diesel production, diesel fuel production. Apparently there's a kind of algae that gives off oil, or the dead algaes give off a kind of oil. So it's a biofuel, you know, when it comes right down to it. And the algae actually feeds off CO2 emissions. So from the refining plant, they actually take the CO2 emissions and pump it into the bog, which feeds the algae. So apparently this is, you know, like a fantastic all-in-one solution to everybody's problems ever. This could, of course, be the snake oil of the future. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's just interesting to see that large corporations are actually jumping in as opposed to just doing research. They're actually setting up a an actual plant to try it. So it's going to be kind of cool. I mean, it's a plant and a plant because it's going to be algae. And it's about time the algae started pulling its weight around here, you know? All right, and then the last little thing we have for the tech cruft here at the Caffeination is actually something from the Joy of Tech. I found it over at mopo.ca. It's a Master of the Painfully Obvious. It's the Wii production plant. It's a little graphic that says why Nintendo can't seem to ship enough of those Wii consoles. So it shows you this whole vast convoluted system for making and packaging Wiis. Then it shows you every single person in there, either huddled around the one guy playing Guitar Hero or huddled around the two people playing Wii Sports. Something that I can identify with a lot around here, because a couple of the last episodes were late because I was spending, you know, up till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, well past my wife's bedtime, to play the Wii Sports and the Wii Carnival games. They're just addictive. It's awesome. All right, now next up here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a fun little offering from Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band. This one's called Banjo Boy, and if you'd like to check out the rest of their stuff, you can head on over to shoup.net. That's shupe.net. Again, here's Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band with their fantastic song called Banjo Boy.
Star and travel really far and buy me a big expensive car and make lots of money and find me a honey and live in a nice big house with it's sunny with a pool that I'll be cool. I'll always have a gig, I'll be big, I'll have parties with friends and places to go. The only problem is I play the banjo. A mover, a funkadelic punk rock groover, a cross between Beta Fleck and Eddie Vedder, but better. I win a Grammy for the way I pick. I'll be an instrumental monster with tons of new licks, and all the babies will love me to sell out shows. The only problem is I play the banjo. Play the banjo. Picking on the banjo all the time. I say, hear me, boys, hear my song. I'm picking on the banjo all day long. Pick it. I have a Learjet and a limousine. And everywhere I go, my fans will scream, hey, banjo boy, we love you. I wish to pick it all in banjo. And you'll see me on the TV talk show with Dave and Conan and Jay Leno. The only problem is I play the banjo. The banjo, I play the banjo.
Banjo Boy from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, and shoop.net. I don't know if anybody out there is still sitting in their chair, but you gotta. You just have to get up and groove around a little bit to that one. That is why it is one of the best songs that we played here on the Caffeination this past year. Just remember, if you want to hear more of Ryan Shoop and the Rubber Bands, then you head on over to shoop.net. When we first started this show, we just put the link over to the PodSafe Music Network because that's where we got it. But we realized pretty quickly after about a year that you couldn't actually buy most of the music from there. It was just an alternative means of getting the word out about these different bands, and if you wanted to buy their stuff, then you had to actually go to their site and find the preferred methods of delivery. One of the other places we find PodSafe Music from time to time, the IOTA PromoNet, they do, however, have links to buy the music that directly supports the artist, which is cool. The only problem is they don't have the mass amount of PodSafe artists, nor the cachet, I guess, that the PMN has. So we vacillate between the two of them. If there's something I want to just check out, I'll go on over to the IOTA PromoNet, or I'll head elsewhere. For a while there, I was trying out GarageBand, and I just didn't like the way it felt. You know what I mean? I mean, it might be great for bands and everything like that, but I just couldn't feel my way around as a podcaster who would only like to play music that he's not going to get sued for. So, that's where we ended up being with that. All right, let's see what we got here. We are in the caffeine and food section of the Caffeination Podcast. Again, if you are listening to this over the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, or if you somehow came in halfway through the MP3, then this is the Caffeination Podcast. You can find it lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And all comments, feedback, and suggestions can be sent on over to caffeination@gmail.com. Alright, we have an interesting little selection of stuff in the caffeine and food section. The first up is a huge posting concerning the pros and cons of coffee. Now, I don't know if everybody else out there does this, but whenever I'm faced with the decision, should I quit coffee, which it doesn't actually enter into the picture for me right now, although it did a couple years back when I was having a significant amount of migraines, I had to really think long and hard about whether or not I could try and quit coffee. And I did for about 6 months. Turns out that wasn't the fault of the migraine, but for some people that actually takes care of it. If you quit coffee, all of a sudden no migraine, guess what? You're going to have to deal with no coffee. So, all right, that wasn't the case with me. But I like to make little scales in my head. You weigh, okay, one positive versus two negatives. Is this a much more of a positive than that is a negative? I mean, I don't know. It's something that, the insurance companies do when they tell you what medicine you can and can't take. Same thing with the FDA. I mean, it's why, certain medications can be out there that still have, the side effect of death. yes, it's a very low percentage chance, but you could die using this medication. That's kind of a big and serious side effect to me. So if I'm going to listen to that and I hear that death may result as a kind of thing of using this, I don't think I'd want to be that 1%, because I just have bad luck. So all right, moving right along, it's kind of in that vein. We found a blog post over at one of the WordPress.com blogs. This one is called Medliterate. It's improving medical students. Basically, this is all about this one particular posting is all about the pros and cons of coffee. So I'm just going to do a quick rundown on them here. Now, this basically is taken into all the recent research and everything else like that, and says, this is good for coffee, that's bad. Everything causes cancer, so we're just going to put that out there. Not even that anybody has said it yet, but it probably will come out in the next week or so. Number one, the pros, it's an antioxidant. They're good, apparently. Number two, regular coffee consumption reduces the risk of Parkinson's disease. Big positive. Three, coffee consumption is potentially protective against the development of type 2 diabetes. Outstanding. Drinking coffee may protect against liver cirrhosis, especially alcoholic cirrhosis. Of course, because, no one who drinks a lot of booze actually has coffee the next morning to try and wake up. Protective against gallstone formation. Lowers the risk of kidney stone formation. Improves mental performance. That may or may not be perceived. But then again, this entire podcast is fueled by coffee. So at some point in time, I'm pretty sure the spark was initiated by a mug. Regular coffee consumption also seems to protect against Alzheimer's, so I'm never going to shake and I'm never going to forget. And number nine is caffeine can open airways and improve asthma symptoms, so I'm going to definitely have to get my wife on coffee. She's much more of a tea drinker. So All right, that's the nine positive listings that they got. All right, now how many cons do you say? Well, we're going to just run them down kind of quickly. Number one, caffeine can increase the risk of heart attack. Basically, certain people who have a genetic predisposition to having a slow metabolic rate when it comes to caffeine have a tendency to have heart attacks when, you know, are at higher risk for heart attacks because of it. Basically, their body doesn't metabolize caffeine very quickly. So it kind of elevates some stuff. All right, number two, heavy consumption of boiled coffee elevates the blood total and LDL cholesterol. Basically, if you drink a French press coffee, there is actual cholesterol in it. We've talked about this before, so it's the bad cholesterol. If you drink filtered coffee, it has the good cholesterol in it for some reason. Number three, coffee negatively affects blood vessel tone and function. So basically increases arterial stiffness and wave reflections. Don't know what that means, but then again, this is a medical blog. However, another one on the positive side should have been small amounts of caffeine, like a cup of coffee, can actually alleviate migraines. So that should be number 10, but it's not here. Let's see. Coffee can cause cardiac arrhythmias. Bad stuff. Number 5. Coffee consumption is not as significant. Can actually raise your blood pressure. Number 6. Sorry, reading through the thing here. Coffee intake may induce extra urinary. Basically, if you have more than 4 cups of coffee a day, it can increase the risk of osteoporosis, especially in women with a low calcium intake. So if you drink a lot of coffee, like myself, take a multivitamin. All right, number 7, a cup of coffee can trigger heartburn. Well, of course, if you're predisposed to heartburn, anything with an acetic content to it could actually trigger the heartburn. Number 8, high amounts of caffeine taken before going to sleep can cause restlessness and difficulty falling asleep, and tendency to be awakened more readily by a sudden noise. I don't seem to exhibit this. Number 9, dehydration. And number 10, dependence. You may get a few days headache irritability if you choose to quit. Well, of course, that's your body telling you that you're making the wrong decision, silly people. All right, that was a big thing. Basically, they had 9 pros, 10 cons. It's all an ROI, and it's all return on investment. What are you getting out of drinking coffee? Do you enjoy it? Okay, fine. If you have already elevated levels of cholesterol, maybe you should switch over to filtered coffee instead of the French press method, which we've actually gotten a lot of questions about. We're going to answer in a little bit. boiled coffee varieties like Camp Coffee, like I was talking about a couple shows ago, Turkish coffee, Greek coffee, anything where there's a high amount of sediment in the bottom of the coffee, or if you're using a French press or vacuum pot, something where the coffee is not filtered from one process to the next, that has a lot more bad cholesterol. So that is a very important thing to take into account, specifically because there's a lot of people out there with cholesterol problems. And another thing, you know, decaf coffee is always has some kind of caffeine in it. So if you are caffeine sensitive, decaf coffee might not be the way to go. The right way to go, if you still enjoy a hot beverage in the morning, would either be, you know, the fake hot chocolate, because chocolate actually does have caffeine, so you need the fake stuff, or would be to go with a naturally caffeine-free tea. Things like the Celestial seasoning stuff that do not have caffeine in it, not because they're decaffeinated, but because none of the ingredients ever had caffeine in them, is the way you want to go. They're more of the herbal teas, so that's just to put a little feather in your cap to think about. All right, we have a next little thing up here. I found a fun little article from the middle of December. It's just a look into how coffee is perceived in the general culture. I thought this was kind of funny. Basically, there's a bunch of rules out there that say, you know, no food or drink. This one reporter actually decided to test them on some of the regional rails in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she said, everybody's walking around with the Starbucks cups on the train. And she actually postulated that they should open a franchise on the train. Don't say that too loudly. Starbucks seems to be opening up a franchise, you know, 2 per mall now. So it got me to think. It was like, you know what? Even in the places where I've seen, you know, drinks prohibited and food prohibited, which, by the way, the way that the article kind of ended up was basically that she pulled out a muffin while she was talking to the conductor and she was drinking, and he said, you couldn't eat the muffin, this isn't a lunch truck, but she could continue to drink the coffee because it had a lid. Because obviously if the coffee has a lid, there's no way it could spill. The inside of my car is a testament to that, really. But it just got me to thinking, said, you know, coffee really has has an interesting placement in our society. I mean, people really just kind of take the Starbucks cups for granted. I mean, I'm on the record as saying I really am not enjoying Starbucks coffee in general, so they just seem to burn the heck out of most of the blends. But it's just really interesting that people will just kind of turn a blind eye to coffee because everybody seems to share the same the same little addiction there. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see that. All right, now the next little article is actually from a website that I'm a frequent contributor to. Really like heading on over there for information. It's ineedcoffee.com. Now, the reason we're linking up this article specifically, well, not only is it because it's from the guy who maintains the website, that'd be Michael Allen Smith, but it's also because I've had a lot of people email me questions about French press coffee or, you know, what else do they call it? Press pot or French press coffee, basically. And I am not in a position to give you the answers that you're looking for. I have only ever had French press coffee maybe once or twice, and it's just because it's not available to me. I don't have a press pot. I don't have the facilities right here. I could make them, but I have other coffee makers around. So I'm all right for right now. So here's the long and the short of what a press pot is. And then I have the article linked up so that if you are somebody who drinks out of a press pot and you really need some more information, this is definitely the place you need to go for it. This is every single thing about press pot coffee. All right, a press pot, imagine a two-sectioned cylinder. The bottom section is where the coffee is going to end up. The top section is where the coffee already is. There's a grating kind of filter, so there's a screen mesh. The coffee is usually burr ground as opposed to blade ground. If you need a little bit more information, you just do a search on it. Basically, blade grinding, it produces an uneven level of coffee grind, so you know, you can either have the dust or you can have the big chunks. Burr ground coffee is a very distinct and very uniform size for the granules, which is what you really want for press pot coffee. So you put a certain amount in the top section of the cylinder on top of the screen. You then pour the boiling water on top of this, and then you take a plunger and push the coffee down. So you're forcing the coffee through, or you're forcing the boiling water through the, through the coffee grounds, through the mesh screen, and into the pot at the bottom. And then you pour and drink out of that. There is a small amount of sediment that occurs when you make this, just because there's no real filtration system in the way. But at the same point in time, the coffee's a lot smoother, and there's also a little bit of cholesterol in there. Cholesterol just makes everything better. I'm just going to sprinkle it on my breakfast tomorrow. I got to admit, you know, I talked about my diet the other week. I have completely blown my diet out of the water this holiday season. I really need to get back on track right after the New Year's because I was doing so good since September, and I just been eating my face off. And it, you know, it's good to just take a little break during the holidays because you only live once, so you just got to try and be as healthy as possible as you go through. Just going to give you a couple rundowns on the different things that they were talking about, or that Michael was talking about in the article. There's several different things that really need to be taken into account. The first is that the quality of your coffee really comes out when you're using French press methods. The second thing is that you should be using quality water. Now, this is something that not a lot of people out there think of, but either using, you know, Aquafina or something like that, or using water that's already been filtered will greatly increase the taste of the coffee because you're not cooking the impurities. You know what I mean? So this really isn't that much of a problem for me because Philadelphia has some of the better water in the country. We like win awards for people who award things for water. Even going outside the city to some of the other reservoir systems, like you notice a taste to the water. Actually, when we go up to the Poconos in the mountains in Pennsylvania, the water there sometimes, you know, depending on the well, almost has like a musty smell. So this is the kind of water that you would definitely boil, then filter, and then, you know, do all kinds of fun things to before you would actually try and make coffee for it. Because if you don't like drinking the water, why would you like drinking the coffee? And the other thing that Michael talked about a little bit was the actual temperature of the coffee. And I never really thought, or the temperature of the boiling water as it goes through. And I never really thought about this because I don't do this method of cooking. But according to him, the TV show Good Eats by Alton Brown. Alton Brown, by the way, a fantastic person on the Food Network. The water should traditionally be between 90 degrees and 96.1 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's pretty cool. No, 90 degrees and 96.1 centigrade, 195 to 205 Fahrenheit. There we go. Basically, the easiest way to do this is to boil the water, remove it from the heat source, count to 10, you know, for 10 seconds, and then pour it. I'm not really sure why the temperature matters as much as it does, but it really seems to make a difference, for at least in Michael's opinion, with the French press. And but for the rest of the stuff, I'm going to let you head on over there and check out his fantastic article. He talks a little bit about fresh coffee, grind size, steep time, dosage, grit, everything else. So if you really are interested in French press coffee, and I know there's a couple people out there who are like addicted to this stuff and really wanted a little bit more ways to improve their methodology, you know, definitely head on over there and check out. That's definitely a soup to nuts version of the French press method. All right, my week in luxury is almost at a close here. I just have this little note in there just to remind me to talk about this. It's very rare that I get to drink coffee exactly as I would like it. Get to take my time. I mean, it's sad, but I, even with my little son running around, I mean, he's 15 months old. I mean, even with him running around and all the other stuff that has to get done in the house, I can still brew my coffee when I would like to. I can still drink it for the most part when I would like to, and it's just such a nice thing to be able to go throughout the day and having a regimented luxury. Like that one small little luxury really makes the day that much better. So when I'm in work, you know, I kind of have to chug it down, or I'll forget it, leave it off to the side, and then end up drinking the cold coffee, you know, like an hour or three later. So this is, it kind of brings it into stark relief, you know what I mean? All right, next little thing here. I've been really kind of perusing the channels over at Seismic kind of frequently, and there's some things that was said the other day. I can't even remember who said it, but it was some girl from London, and she was saying, you know, well, I just had a nice stiff cup of tea. And that has just as much of a amount of caffeine as coffee does. And, you know, so you need not worry. And then she told people to basically stop bothering her to start drinking coffee. Not quite so fast, my dear. Coffee actually has roughly, let me see, I think coffee has roughly 13.44 milligrams per ounce of caffeine, as per the caffeine database over at our fine friends, energyfiend.com. And so I was like, okay, well, what does tea have? Tea has roughly half that, and I was unaware of that. You know, I was like, okay, it has roughly 5.88 grams of, or milligrams, it'd be insane, milligrams of caffeine per little thing there. So, you know, it per ounce. This is starting to have, just, my mind is going on me. I don't even know what's happening here. All right, I think that about wraps up the different little things I had written down to talk to you about. So I would like to thank everybody in here, like all of we'll get to that after the last little bit of PodSafe music here. The last little selection for PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network, my final favorite song for 2007, was a wonderful little ditty by the Dust Rhinos. Now, this song is called The Jedi Drinking Test. So it's a little bit of humor. It's a really good musical song. It's from the fine fellows Dust Rhinos. So you can either find them at the PMN, or you can go over to dustrhinos.com and check them out. And I strongly suggest you give them a shot, because they're fantastic, they're funny, and the music sounds good. I mean, it's one thing if you're hilarious, but if your music sounds like crap, then nobody's going to listen to you. So these guys don't have that problem. So again, here from the Dust Rhinos, we have the Jedi Drinking Test in the PodSafe Music Network.
Well, I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on my right, another on the left. I looked up a man in the eye and said, give me the test. A long time ago in a pub far away, I sat on a bar stool just drinking away. I couldn't hold it down, I guess I had too much. I felt a tremor in the bars and then I lost my lunch.
whiskey and don't give in to hate. Train went on, I drank most of the bar. We had to stop up for supplies on the nearest Death Star. I learned to control my beer and hold my alcohol. Soon I was able to stand when Obi-Wan called. I had one pint of beer and one shot of scotch, one bottle of wine and a bourbon on the rocks. I had one lassie on my right, another on the left. I looked up at Ben in the eye and said, give me the test.
Dust Rhinos with their song Jedi Drinking Test. Thank you so much for the PodSafe Music Network for allowing us to play all this stuff. I mean, it's fantastic. It allows me to release my inner DJ once or twice a week, you know. So again, this is the Caffeination Podcast. And again, this is 2007, last time I'm going to be saying that on one of these shows. So I'd like to just spend just a little bit of time here, just let you know all the normal stuff we talk about at the end of the show. And again, thank everybody for a fantastic 2007. Do my little looking backwards right here, looking forward, tell you what the theme I'm going to go for, as Chris Penn from the Financial Aid Podcast talked about a little bit. Basically, 2007 was kind of a realization for me. It wasn't just that this was a hobby. It wasn't just that this was fun. It's also that this is business. And at the same point in time, I need to take this seriously. I need to take what I'm doing seriously, or else none of you are. So I really hope that you see some kind of increased effort in the shows this year. I hope that you enjoy the way we're doing these shows, that we're constantly trying to better ourselves. And please, if there's something out there that you think that we're doing incorrectly, if you'd like to just lend a little bit of a criticism, if you'd like to lend a little bit of anything to it, please feel free. I mean, I say this all the time. Sometimes people take me up on it, sometimes they don't. But I wanted to just stress, this is not something I'm going to get upset about. I mean, if you think like, oh, he doesn't like people criticizing him, you're right, nobody does. But at the same point in time, what would be better? Two people saying, you know what, this sucks, try something different. Or if everyone just kind of sort of sat there and nobody really worked for betterment of anything. So we're just trying to get better little by little every time. So this has been the Caffeination Podcast, signing off for the last time in 2007. I think that 2008 is going to be a year of growth for us here. It's going to be a definite year where we're going to expand. I'm going to start another podcast. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. I never do these things. But then again, I was like, you know what? 2 years ago, I made a New Year's resolution to start a podcast. So on January 9th, 2006, I started some little podcast called the Caffeination Podcast. And in the past 2 years, I'd say we've done a very good job. I'd like to continue doing this show. I'm known as the coffee guy everywhere I go, so I'd like to continue doing this show for as long as people continue listening to me, and that involves a lot about you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the time that you've spent listening to our show, all the time that you've written in. If you haven't done it, please feel free, do so. We're a giant community here. We're going to be expanding the ways that you can actually contribute to the show. We're going to be adding voicemail on Skype, which has been requested by many people. We're going to do a whole bunch of other things. We're going to have a blog post up right at the beginning of the year, letting you all know all the new things that are coming out. So you'll hopefully be able to take advantage of the full length and breadth of the Caffeination experience. So thank you once more to all of our new listeners. Welcome to the show. And to all of our old returning and repeat offenders, thank you so much. This is going to be a fantastic ride from here forward. So for one last time for 2007, we'd like to thank you for listening to this, the Caffeination number 194. This has been the 194th edition. We are looking forward to a fantastic 2008. If you'd like to find this show, it's lovingly nestled, not just lovely, over at www.caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Go on over to techpodcasts.com. Check out all the other member shows that have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content that you can have anybody listen to. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. If you'd like to send us an email, that's caffeination@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us a phone message, that's 215-240-1319. Direct to voicemail right there. Skype ID is TheCaffeination, all one word. We are twitter.com/caffeination if you'd like to follow us over there. MySpace.com/caffeination if you'd like to find us there. Pounce.com/caffeination for that. Pretty much anything slash caffeination. If it's not me, please let me know, and I'll give the person a talking to. You know what I mean? Then last but most certainly not least, we are a Puzzle Piece production here, so it's the parent company that's over the Caffeination Podcast. There's a couple other things that operate under that umbrella, but this is the crown jewel, so to speak, of that empire. So thank you so much for listening, everybody, and please have a happy and safe new year, and of course, stay caffeinated.